Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. This is the reading of God's Word. And it came about on one of those days while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted him. And they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us, by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority?" And he answered and said to them, "I shall also ask you a question, and you tell me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." And they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Bless us, that we may truly hear your word, that our faith will grow and we will love our Lord Jesus Christ more and more. And Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear, but understand and believe and obey your word. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, every time I preach on this book of Luke, we arrive in chapter 20. And this is 130th sermon on Luke. And I thank God that he continued to bless us as we study the book of Luke. Well, Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. Last time, as our Lord Jesus Christ cleansed the temple, he has witnessed our heavenly reality being the true temple of God, because Jesus is the true temple of God. He has also witnessed that now in Jesus Christ, God's will is for both the Jews and the Gentiles to become his people only by believing in Jesus Christ. And that both the Jews and the Gentiles as one people of God worship him together. The old has passed away and heaven has come. The new has come. This means that world has passed away and heaven has come. The Old Testament temple has also passed away. But the Jewish leaders reject Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God that he comes to accomplish. They reject the will of God for them to be the light of the world, to draw everybody in the world unto God. They completely reject the will of God. Thus, Jesus now ends the Old Testament order. Now God, through the church, witnesses the reality of the heavenly kingdom of God. To be the people of God is no longer through the ministry of the Old Testament temple, nor the animal sacrifices. Now only by and only through faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to himself," all men to myself, he says. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, God gathers his people unto Jesus Christ, who is the true eternal temple of God. You see, the only thing that separates God's people to God is sin. And God takes care of that problem of sin in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In our passage for today, we see the Jewish leaders completely reject the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. We begin with verse 1. On one of those days, while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders confront him. Well, Jesus Christ is preaching the gospel of heaven in the temple. But we see through groups of people, the chief priests and scribes and the elders come and confront Jesus. Now, these three groups of people, we know them as the Sadducees. They were more elite than the Pharisees, and they were more rich than the Pharisees. If the authority of the Pharisees was centered on the synagogues, then the authority of the Sadducees were centered on the temple. The Sadducees were more close, more friendly with the Rome. Thus, they were more interested in the politics than religion. So these Sadducees come to Jesus and ask him, verse 2, and they spoke, saying to him, tell us, by what authority you are doing these things? Or who is the one who gave you this authority? Essentially, two questions. First, by what authority are you doing these things? The phrase, these things, includes, obviously, Jesus, his teaching at the temple, and Jesus cleansing the temple, and Jesus rejecting their teaching and their authority and more. And second question, who is the one who gave you this authority? Now, if it's not that hard to figure out where these questions are coming from. They come from these leaders' rejection of Jesus' authority. They are, in fact, saying, we don't know by what authority you are doing all these things, because it is not by our authority. That is what they're saying. And this is really, really important. Even these sinners know the principle. Only God gives the true authority. This is why when you see anything that this church does or whatever that is being taught, you ask us, where is it in the Bible? Because we believe that Bible is, only Bible is God, Word of God. That is why only Bible has the authority. If a Bible says it, then we must obey. If a Bible does not say, then you don't have to obey. Because if it is not in the Bible, then some man or woman made it up. Why you need to obey men? Only God gives the true authority. But problem is that these leaders, Jewish leaders, they believe that their authority came from God also. But what does the Bible say? That's the thing. The book of Hebrews tells us about becoming the chief priest. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God. Even as Aaron was, so also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest. But he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So how do these people become chief priest? Well, God had to appoint that person to be a high priest. You don't just get up one day and says, oh, I feel like I want to be a high priest, and somehow that's how you be a high priest. You have to ask, what authority are you, young Kim, standing there and preaching to us? Well, you have to look at the Bible. How are we to elect pastor? And how are we to ordain the pastor? And what does pastor must do when we read the Bible? And that's what I do. If I do anything that the Bible doesn't allow me to do, then you have to say, hey, you got to ask the same question. By what authority are you doing what you're doing? Yeah, you don't get up one day and say, I want to be a pastor, so we let you just preach one day. That's not how it works. And I don't want to get into all this. There's so many people out there, I don't know by what authority that they're doing what they're doing. Who told them to do what they're doing? I don't see it in the Bible. And God himself witnessed to us that Jesus is the true Son of God. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So obviously, it wasn't just Jesus' own initiative that he just do whatever he does. No, even he, who is also God, he's following the will of the Father. Luke chapter 5, verse 24a, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Only God has the authority to forgive sins, and here we see Jesus has that same authority. Because he is God. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. John chapter 5, verse 26, 27, for just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself, and he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Revelation 2, verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, Jesus says. But the sinners, they give themselves the authority according to their sinful desire. And this is what the sinners did even from the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 32. Behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them and led my people astray by their falsehood and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. Oh, there were so many false prophets in the Old Testament. And even now, there are so many false teachers, even in the church. They just took upon themselves this authority which did not come from God. Actually, this was how it was from the very beginning. The story of Adam and Eve eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Who has the authority to determine what is good and what is evil? Bible says God and God alone. But what does it mean to eat of that fruit? It means that now they will decide what is good and what is evil. And that's what the world does. Look at the world today. They decided what is good and what is evil. It really doesn't matter what the Bible says about it. If they say it's good, then we have to follow. But we ask them, by what authority are you making that decision that whatever is good and whatever is evil? And if it's just men, then why is their opinion better than our opinion? But see, our opinion is not based on what we want. It is based on the Bible. You do not follow the world. I don't care who it is. Do not trust anyone unless you could prove that what he says is in the Bible. Only God has the authority. Matthew 11, verse 16 and 17. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance, and we sang a dirge and you did not mourn. Sinners, they do whatever their sinful sinful hearts desire, and complain that God does not follow along. They complain to God, even though we play the flute, but you, God, does not dance. How dare you not dance when we play flute for you? Even though we sang a dirge, but God, you don't mourn. And this is how sinful the world is. And what is sad is this is how so-called Christians do. They complain, how come, God, you don't follow along what we want? I play flute for you and you don't dance, God. Is this how you live? Because you don't want to obey his authority? It's all up to you, right? Whatever you want. And even if it is God who doesn't want to follow your evil desire, somehow it's his fault. He's wrong. And this is how sinful the world is. That's why they rejected Jesus. Because he doesn't dance when these sinful people play flute for him. This is how the world is. So they completely reject the authority of our God. And they decide what is good and what is evil. But by doing that, ultimately they're saying God is wrong. So we continue our story. Luke chapter 20, verse 3 and 4. Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you a question and you tell me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Jesus answers their questions with a question. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? So, the authority of John, was it from God or from men? Only two answers. God or men? This is not Jesus avoiding to answer their question. But Jesus is revealing their sinful hearts. These sinners now have a problem. Verse 5 and 6, they reason among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, then he will say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet. So these sinners, they reason among themselves, a conference of the sinners. Oh, how there are many, many conferences of sinners. They gather not to know the truth, but to reject the truth and get out of that situation to look good to the people around them. Just like the politicians today. If they say the authority of John came from God, then why did they not obey John? Why did they not believe John? These people and the Pharisees rejected John. Luke chapter 7, verse 30, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. As we have seen, John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. He is like an arrow pointing to Jesus. Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered and said to them, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John was referring to Jesus Christ. John says in John chapter 1, verse 33, 34, I did not recognize Jesus, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Holy Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptized in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. This is what John the Baptist testified. If they admit the authority of John came from God, then they must accept the authority of Jesus also came from God. Thus, they cannot answer that the authority came from God. They actually misunderstood that they have the authority from God. So they later killed God himself who came to them. Now, if they say that the authority of John came from men, then because all the people are convinced that John was a prophet, they were afraid that the people will stone them to death. Again, we see the sinful world. They are so afraid of people and their reputation in this world. See, it really does not matter what the truth is, but they're just afraid of this world. Mark chapter 11, verse 32 says it this way, but shall we say from men? They were afraid of the people, for everyone considered John to have been a real prophet. So what do they say? Luke chapter 20, verse 7, so they answer and they did not know where it came from. Can you believe this? They answer, we don't know. Is this the answer, something that the leader should give? If they do not know the teaching of John is truly the teaching of God, then how could they determine the teaching of Jesus Christ to be the truth or not? In today's context, if the pastor does not know if a certain teaching is truly God's teaching or not, how can he do the ministry of God? Think about it. If you take a question to a pastor, is this teaching of the Bible or not? And they go, I don't know. Then why would you learn from that person? These sinners do not say what they truly believe because they were afraid of people, even though what they truly believe was wrong. They still not say it, even though they believe it, because they were afraid. Again, I'm not saying you go out and make enemies out there. No, you got to be wise. But there are times when you have to say what you believe. There are many, many brothers and sisters in history that they said what they said and people killed them because they were telling the truth. Sometimes that's what you got to do. They're more interested about their reputation and what people might think of them. They're more interested in that than the truth. But brothers and sisters, the Bible is full of the stories of so many true Christians who gave up their lives defending the truth. Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life, even when faced with death. This is how true Christians lived. And we must live the same life, because that is the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Luke chapter 20, verse 8, and Jesus said to them, nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Can you try to turn off? Because I see many people so cold. It's way over here. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I cut this portion out. Don't worry. Good. Jesus Christ says, nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Again, Jesus is not just avoiding to answer. If you go to the latter verses in chapter 20, Jesus actually answered them. But what is Jesus doing? This is Jesus rejecting them, rejecting their authority. Jesus shows that the Jewish leaders are not the ones who are exercising the authority that is from God. Jesus' silence itself is revelation. Jesus says later in chapter 22, verse 67 and 68, if you are the Christ, tell us. But Jesus said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. The same thing is going on here. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. As the eternal God, like I said so many times, as the eternal God, Jesus always had the authority. But as the Messiah, he had to obey all of God's laws perfectly to receive the authority. And even though he is God, he had to obey all of God's authority to save us. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was obedient to the point of being forsaken by the Father on the cross. But now all authority has been given to Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord. Brothers and sisters, being a Christian means we obey Jesus' authority. Because you're saying he's God, he's the Lord. We learn already in the book of Job. And I want to, you know, time to time preach that book of Job. Think about this. He loses everything. He loses his 10 children and all of his wealth. And even his health, he loses it all. And in the beginning, it seemed that he is in doing all of this very well. But ultimately, he rebels against God. He brings complaint to God. And what was his complaint? Why am I suffering when I did not do anything wrong? That was his complaint. That's it. That's the gospel. Why am I suffering even though I did not do anything wrong? Now, obviously, Job was a sinner. But in an Old Testament level, he was blameless. God even says so. But he's suffering. Why am I suffering even though I did not do anything wrong? But see, that's the gospel. Because that is exactly the life that our Lord Jesus Christ lived. This is the question. Are you willing to obey God's will? Are you willing to obey God's authority over you? Because obviously in our passage, these leaders of Jewish, they don't want to obey the will of God. They don't want to obey the authority of God. How far will you go in obeying God's authority? And we must understand the gospel biblically. Question is, what did Jesus do wrong? He was sinless, completely without any wrongdoing. Job was in fact a sinner, but Jesus is completely righteous. Then why did he have to die? Why did he have to suffer? And our answer is to save me. But in terms of what we're looking at today, to obey the authority of the Father, to obey the will of God. When it comes to being unfairly treated, Jesus has so much to say and more. But unlike Job, Jesus says, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, instead of complaining, he says, yet not my will, but yours will be done. Do you see it then? You and I are invited to participate in this life of Christ. And this is the true blessing. That you actually live out this life. Brothers and sisters, understand the Bible correctly. Like I keep saying, being wealthy and healthy out there, that's not true Christian blessing. Because even non-Christians receive it. But they will never be called by God to participate in the life of Christ. That's a true blessing. Only Christians will experience it. So many, many years ago. This was a long time ago. I was struggling with the story of Abraham. God says to Abraham, kill your son. Will you obey? You know, I didn't know how to answer that. struggled with for a long time. But God gave me grace and He gave me understanding. Abraham was called to participate in the life of God because God killed his own son. You and I, we're not ready to receive this great blessings from God. I wasn't ready. And I don't know if I'll ever be ready. But I know what is the truth and what is the gospel. And I pray that I will do what God wants me to do when that time comes. But God said to me, and I also trust Him in this, that He will not let me tempt it beyond what I could bear. Obviously, I wasn't ready to bear that. But it is honor to participate in the life of God. Abraham knew exactly how God felt when God killed his own son. Because Abraham was ready to kill his son. This is true blessing. Do you understand the blessings of Christianity? How it is honor for us to imitate God. But God will not tell you to kill someone, commit murder. Don't worry about it. That's not the point. Its point is, how far are we ready to go and obey God's authority? I believe He has authority over everything. Oh, my life? Yes, He has authority. He could do whatever He wants in my life. And my purpose is to obey. It's whatever God wants. And if you don't like whatever God wants, oh, then it's going to be so hard for you to be a Christian. Maybe you might have to look for another religion. And you know what that means. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is disappearing. You need to defend it. Because nobody wants to hear the true gospel anymore. They really don't want. We must joyfully obey the will of God and authority of God. And as you do, we must believe Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and I know that God causes all things to work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So even as you struggle to obey His authority and His will, and you ask yourself, I don't see the benefit of doing this. What would be the benefit of me doing all that? But you must trust God. He says that somehow God will cause everything to work together for good of us who love Him. So I trust Him. And Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, so many things might happen in your life. Yes, you will suffer. You will be persecuted. So-called all these bad things might happen to you, even though they're not really bad, but that's how the world understands it. All that might happen, but always know that those things are not the proof that love of God toward you is no longer. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. So endure. It will pass. And it will be good for you. If God's will for you is that you be successful in this world, then those kind of suffering will not be good for you. But see, that is not the will of God for you. He didn't come here to make you success in this world. He came to save you out of this world, to put you in the other world, so that you could be with God forever and ever. That was His purpose. And for that purpose, whatever that happened in your life, you have to trust that it happens for your benefit, to be more like Christ. That's His purpose, to make you more like Christ. I know, and I'm the same way. Even as I say this, I'm afraid, frankly, if God will bless me more. Because that might mean I have to suffer more. But at the same time, I trust Him that He will be with me even as I suffer. And He told me not to worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. So somehow I will be able to endure that and even bring glory and honor to God by His grace. I'd rather have it that way than being successful in this world and not bringing any glory to our God. Brothers and sisters, we are not following the worldly method. We're not following the worldly desires. We are not following the worldly authority. And we are not afraid of this world. We are the ones who obey the will of our God, our Lord, Jesus Christ. And we know and we believe and proclaim that our Lord, Jesus Christ, has all authority. Now and forever. This is how we live. He has all the authority. And I'm here to obey. Not reject like these Jewish leaders. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And as your pastor, somehow God gave me that blessing. And I could truly say to you, I love you. If God does not give me that blessing, I don't know if I could love you. Oh, I could say that. And I could even act like it. But even if I don't act it, I truly love you in my heart. And my hope and my desire for you, all of you, because I will see you in heaven. And we'll be able to say, when we meet in heaven, that through Christ, in Christ, that God used all of us to bring that glory to God. And that day, we're going to be just like Him. And we will look at one another and we'll be amazed. Because I will see you and I will see Christ. And you will see me. and you will see Christ. This is our hope. So brothers and sisters, look at the world, you know, and don't trust anybody out there. I don't care who they are, because they're not my God. Yes, we voted last week. Whoever I voted, he's not my God. Jesus Christ is my God. We need to obey him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are our God. And we thank you for Jesus Christ who came as the Messiah, accomplished our eternal life, our eternal kingdom. And we thank you that you gave him all the authority. So only authority that we recognize is his authority. And if he has given authority to anybody, we will recognize that person's authority also, because it is from you. But Father, let us live our lives obeying you and you alone. No one else. Because you are the only God we know. And we are your people. Now, forever. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.